I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Bill Wills.
And it's Wills and Snyder each and every morning from 5 till 9. Bill, we got a lot every day, don't we?
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thanks for checking out today's podcast each and every day. Make sure you follow us and download the show. If you hear us in the morning, miss an interview or something, Mike, this is a great way to catch it on the podcast and normally around weekday morning.
At your convenience, at your time, whether we're talking to Terry Pluto, Tom Hamilton, whoever it is. Of course, I'm always focused on that sports end, Bill.
News, sports, traffic, and weather on the 10s. Mornings, it's Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Now, enjoy today's show.
News you can use on your money with the latest this morning from Bloomberg.
All right, World Series doesn't start till Friday. Major League Baseball, why would you want to have games going up against football this weekend? Why not go ahead and start like last night?
They could have.
Or tonight.
Yeah, they could have started tonight, get the three in, and then do your weekend. You know, Saturday night would have been on the team that goes down that way.
They're waiting. Anyway, coming up in trending this morning, Scooter, they're getting ready to grease the pole in Philadelphia.
They're doing it again. Yes, they did it on Sunday, but it to stop people from partying. But they got up the pole anyway, and you'll be amazed at what they used. What they used for to grease the poles.
All right, we'll get to that coming up.
A cooking item.
Okay, first year WTAM 1100 traffic and weather together on the 10s. Good morning, Pat Butler.
Good morning.
You ever climbed a pole?
I haven't. No.
Okay.
I don't think I could at this point in my life.
Like an old man?
I feel that way.
Yes. All right. How's the drive?
Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:20. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
A few more clouds today. Cleveland 3 News meteorologist Holly Strano says still mild. We get into the 70s. I've got 54 this morning at your severe weather. Windows Direct at 216-518-8900. 216-518-8900. Or online at universalwindowsdirect.com.
This is Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Here's what's trending at WTAM.com.
All right, Scooter East, producer extraordinaire alongside. Let's get to it. The grease pole in Philly. What's the story here?
The grease light poles, they did them on Sunday because anticipation of the Phillies clinching the World Series. Here we go.
City officials are ready for rowdy celebrations. This shiny light pole is just one we found in South Philadelphia that had just been greased. Greasing the poles, of course, makes them a lot harder to climb. But you may remember this scene in Center City after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. The pole had been greased with Crisco, but the determined fans still got to the top.
So Crisco. They used Crisco.
Is this like a tradition in Philly? You climb the
Did they do it here when the Cavaliers won the title? I don't recall anybody climbing light poles. I don't think our city greased them, but they used Crisco.
I don't remember that.
See, I thought they would use maybe mechanical grease or something. Well, you know, like Crisco, and it's like, but you got to remember, they're going to do this again because if the Phillies end up winning the World Series, that place is going to get nuts.
Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. You can see the story. Crisco is what the...
they use Crisco.
The story. All right. We'll get to that. Scoot, thanks much.
You're welcome.
Coming up in 5, Rory O'Neill. And what's up in Ukraine? I tell you what, Putin says they may do it, and they say Putin may do it. One of these dirty bombs. We'll get the latest on that. Plus, politics and midterms. Where are the races at nationally? Who's feeling good this morning, Republicans or Democrats? Political analyst Steve Robertson joined me on that. Sports Now, 5:15. Here's Mike Snyder.
Bill, it was another Monday to pick up the pieces from a loss for the Browns as Kevin Stefanski met with the media yesterday. He had his usual, gotta look ahead approach.
Where we are right now, we gotta find a way to win. There are the little things in football that you have to do to win on the margins, and we gotta start doing them.
Can pretty much say that, at least 5 times this season. Now, veteran guard Joe Bitonio looked at things this way.
I think for us right now is just trying to find a way to get a win, one win, and then we'll see where we're at after this bye week. But hopefully we can just come together and execute and do the little things this week to try and beat Cincinnati.
Well, the news was not good on the health front. Middle linebacker Jacob Phillips out for the season, torn pectoral muscle. He's the second middle linebacker to go down. Anthony Walker went down earlier this year, and that is a problem. That's why they acquired Deion Jones recently, but because the heart of that defense really has been gouged. And then tight end David Njoku, we knew he left the game Sunday with an ankle injury, and reportedly it is a high ankle sprain. And he'll be out 2 to 5 weeks. Now, the Browns do have a bye after the game next Monday against the Bengals. And tough to see Njoku go out because he's having probably the best year of his career. Now, the Browns will be in action next Monday when they'll take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the NFL trade deadline is a week from today, and they may have some decision to make. Rumors are flowing and say the Browns have been listening to offers for running back Kareem Hunt and cornerback Greedy Williams, and they really should be right now. You know, you look at all they've given up in draft collateral to acquire Deshaun Watson, they could use some draft picks. So if they can add some picks, I think they have to be listening. The thing for the Browns, though, they've got a game Monday night, and the trade deadline is the very next day. Now let's check out Monday Night Football last night.
They drag the tight end. He takes and turns. Fields on the give. Montgomery powers in. A pad-thumping touchdown run left into the end zone. Here in New England, and the Bears continue to expand their lead. It is 32-14.
Yeah, they just destroyed Bill Belichick's Patriots, 33-14. Justin Fields, the former Buckeye, a big game, 179 yards passing, 82 rushing. But the Bears ran for like 230 yards. And you go back to that Browns game where the Browns threw the ball 45 times. He only ran it 18 times. Now, I know they got behind the Patriots last time when they met. But this is why Browns fans, you scratch your head. You got the best running game in the league, and you don't really use it against the Patriots. And you see the Bears just demolish the Patriots' defense. Of course, Fields had a lot to do with that, as he brings a dimension of what the Browns are envisioning when Deshaun Watson begins to play games later this season. Cavaliers will practice today. They'll host winless Orlando tomorrow. Magic fell to the Knicks last night, but they do have a heck of a talent. Top overall pick, Paolo Banchero, off to a great start in his career. He has scored 20 or more in each of their games. And the World Series won't begin until Friday in Houston. The big reason why the delay, because each of the championship series went so quickly, and they like to have a set date for the World Series to begin, and they had to keep a few days open this week in case either one of the NLCS or ALCS series had gone a full seven games. Home of the Cavs and the Guardians, Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
Coming up, Rory O'Neill joins me. Latest on Ukraine. I saw a couple things here. The Ukraine military says they're getting better at shooting down these drones. Almost 85% of them, they claim, have been taken out. Meanwhile, there's this talk back and forth on this dirty bomb. What's the latest on this thing?
Yeah, so a dirty bomb is a traditional explosive that contains some sort of radioactive material. So it's not a nuclear bomb per se, but it can spread nuclear material in a wide area, leaving it essentially off limits to people for perhaps years or decades. Now, the concern is this talk started surfacing over the weekend. Russia claiming that Ukraine was going to detonate dirty bombs to attack the invading Russian force. Of course, the U.S., France, Germany, Britain, they all say this is nonsense, and this is part of a propaganda campaign by Vladimir Putin.
That's a worry. If Putin says that Ukraine may, you know, blow up one and blame him, then at least it's on his mind, we know. That is a concern, right?
Right. And I should also point out that a dirty bomb is also a great psychological weapon, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, we haven't really seen one of these detonated in history. But if it were to be exploded, likely in a downtown urban setting. So it really can have a psychological impact on a country.
Our Rory O'Neill on it this morning with Ukraine. All right, Rory, thanks much.
Thanks.
Bill Wills, Aaron Real, the Real File this morning, the health of our kids. Seeing and hearing more and more about RSV, I guess this is something a lot of people think it might be COVID at first, but it's different, but it is a respiratory problem, right?
Yes, that's right, Bill. So RSV, it's short for respiratory syncytial virus, and cases are going through the roof throughout the entire country. They're seeing more cases than they have in decades. So it's a common respiratory virus among children, and it produces common cold symptoms. And for most, it's mild. It lasts about 2 weeks, but for some infants, young children, older adults, especially those with pre-existing health conditions, they can suffer much more severe cases leading to hospitalization. And these unseasonably high numbers in kids, they're really putting a strain on hospitals that are already preparing for the typical wintertime surge in patients who are going to be ill from various viruses. So in Washington, D.C., the Children's National Hospital is near capacity. The Connecticut Children's Medical Center in Hartford is actually considering building a field hospital and bringing in the National Guard because it's so over the top. Hospitals in Colorado, Children's Hospitals are filling up. Texas, it's all over the country. It's not confined to one place.
The numbers of RSV cases at our own Cleveland Clinic has grown steadily for several weeks. Some 46% of children, 5 and under, seeking care at the clinic, are now testing positive for this virus. I guess it spreads rather quickly. And of course, you know, kids are back in school and daycare, and then they bring it home to their parents, right?
Exactly. It's very easy to transmit. You know, you just sneeze or cough. It presents like a common cold, and a lot of kids get this before the age of two, and they're perfectly fine. Most kids will actually catch RSV at some point before two.
Yeah.
Highly contagious, except for adults who get it. Sometimes they don't even notice that, because you don't feel the run down the same way you do with the flu or a very bad cold. You just have a runny nose, so you might think it's allergies or things like that, and you could be coughing a bit. But for some patients, it's very, very dangerous, and they require oxygen and ventilation. So in order to prevent this, the best thing they say you can do is wash your hands. It's the single most important thing you can do to keep yourself and others sick. And also teaching kids to cough and sneeze into a tissue or into their elbow rather than using their hands. I know it seems simple, but it actually goes a long way towards, putting the kibosh on this virus.
Good reminders going into flu season, too. There's no immunization for RSV, so parents simply got to be careful and trying their best to prevent it from hitting their kids. But you're right, hand washing is the key. All right, Aaron Rial on it this morning in RSV. Aaron, thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
Breakfast for your brain.
All right, don't waste your money, Consumer Guy. John Matarese over at News 5 on some changes at Netflix to be aware of. John?
Yeah, they're coming out with a new tier of Netflix that'll be ad-supported and will cut the price by about $10. I mean, you probably don't realize it, Bill, but most of us are paying $16 a month for Netflix, and some of us, if we have the 4K, because we've got that big TV,
yeah,
we're paying $20 a month. And you say, $20 a month? I didn't know Netflix was... Well, because they keep gradually adding price increases. They inform us, but every now and then there's a dollar, $2. So you may be up to $20 a month for Netflix. And when you add that together with all your other streaming services, if you have Disney, Apple Plus, Paramount, Hulu, Peacock, there's so many. Suddenly, you know, you're paying as more than you used to pay with cable. So Netflix says, you know what? Rather than people dropping us, because people have been dropping them, they said, we're going to come out with an ad-supported tier for just $6.99 a month. And that's as cheap as the basic Disney or Apple streaming service. They say $6.99 a month. What you're going to get are some commercials between shows, obviously, but also a few during the shows. I don't know what you think about that, Bill. Would you be wanting to watch Dahmer and see, you know, commercials in the middle of it?
It's funny. I know that other platforms have this as well. It's kind of like going back to what we always had. That's over-the-air television with commercials, and we wanted to get away from that, so we paid for streaming, and the business models are just, they're struggling right now for so many different ways. John, I still think it comes down to content. What are people willing to pay if it's good content?
Yeah, I think if people really like Netflix, and they know there's a lot of shows they still want to watch there, they love Stranger Things, the kids watch that, if that's the thing that you just really love Netflix, I would say pay the $16 a month or $20 a month, because it's worth it to you to see those shows without commercials. But, you know, if you have Netflix and you say, you know what, we really haven't watched it in, 6 months.
Yeah.
We don't want to see the Dahmer series. It's too disturbing.
Yeah.
If you're that type of person, you may just want to cut it back to the $6.99 a month. Get some commercials. Who cares? You barely watch it.
John Matarese over at News 5 with a story. Follow him on Facebook, Twitter, like him at Instagram as well. Good story, John Matarese. John, thanks much.
Great talking to you, Bill.
And thank you, John. Netflix, by the way, is rolling out a password sharing plan early next year. I guess they realize so many people share passwords. If you share your Netflix password with someone not living with you, be prepared for a change. The streamer's been testing ways to curb the practice since about 100 million people globally use someone else's account. Early next year, Netflix is going to roll out what they're calling thoughtful and monetized way to handle account sharing. I like the thoughtful part.
Uh-huh.
They know we're already stealing this. They're just going to be more thoughtful about it, Mike Snyder.
All right. Only 100 million.
100 million people aren't paying for Netflix. My kids are two of them. It may be that you logged out and asked. You're going to be asked to pay for $2.99 for a person outside the home if they're using the account before you can log back in. So they're going to try and test that at least and figure it out next year.
A lot of money.
Try and get some money from the 100 million people. That
This is Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Here's what's trending at WTAM.com.
Here's something interesting. You got to check this story out. Wilson Center Facebook and at WTAM.com. Scooter East producer extraordinaire says the DNA says at the end of the Ice Age, there were two, not just male, female, two different types of humans?
Two different types of humans, Bill. This is what DNA found in the United Kingdom says, and here we go.
Britain was home to at least two genetically distinct groups of people at the end of the last Ice Age. The oldest human DNA from Britain has revealed Around 19,000 years ago, ice sheets that had covered much of Britain melted and the landscape became habitable for humans again. These early groups traversed now submerged land that once connected Britain to mainland Europe. Human remains from the late Ice Age have only been found at a few sites in Britain, including Gough's Cave in Somerset and Kendrick's Cave in Llandudno, Wales. The former is famous for being home to Cheddar Man, a person who lived about 10,000 years ago, as well as older remains that showed signs of cannibalism. Now researchers have extracted and analyzed the DNA of two people found at those locations, the oldest DNA from Britain. We can see that there are two different genetic ancestry present in Britain during this late glacial period, which is perhaps not what we expected to find, said Dr. Sophie Charlton, the first author of the study from the University of York. Charlton and colleagues report in the journal Nature Ecology and Evolution how they performed isotopic analysis on the remains, which allowed them to dissect the contribution of different food sources to their diet and thus refine their radiocarbon dating.
Could it just be the royal family? One line was the royals and the other was the rest of us?
Hatfields and McCoys.
I guess.
19,000 years ago?
19,000 years ago. Two types of humans.
That's interesting. All right. Wills and Snyder Facebook.
Were they eating Twinkies then? They have the shelf life, right?
Yeah. Yes. Probably Twinkies could last that
long. Last ice age. There you go.
Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Entertainment news. Names note this morning is Jason Nathanson.
Careful testimony to start Harvey Weinstein's Los Angeles sex assault trial. The first accuser took the stand Monday afternoon, sobbing while detailing how the former movie mogul allegedly assaulted her in a hotel room in 2013. In his opening statements, Weinstein's lawyer said all of the sex was consensual and transactional, part of Hollywood's casting couch. The trial is expected to last until December.
Yeah.
Leslie Jordan's Fox sitcom Call Me Cat is pausing production after news the actor died Monday in a single car crash. He was 67. Taylor Swift saying hi to huge sales. Her new album, Midnights, the first to sell more than a million copies in a week since 2017, when Swift did it with Reputation. That according to the company Luminate, whose data powers the Billboard charts. Midnights has hit sales of 1.2 million in just 3 days. So by the time the tracking week ends Thursday night, the number will likely go much higher. And another pop superstar, Katy Perry, is 38 today. Jason Nathanson, ABC News. Hollywood.
Wayne Weingart, candidate for county exec coming up. First over to London, Tom Rivers joins me. A new PM, yet another one over there, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of moving day, Bill. We have the short-term leaseholder vacating 10 Downing Street, Liz Truss. And she basically had a very short speech. She left 10 Downing Street, and she said basically with her very arrogant, if you will, tone-deaf speech, she said in 7 weeks she's done so much for the working people. Top of the list is she sent a lot of them to the poorhouse. Kind of a reverse Robin Hood philosophy on her part. But she's out of a job right now. And in her place is Rishi Sunak, the former Treasury Secretary. He's meeting with the king as we speak. And once Charles says, yep, I'm signing you off, you're the new boss, back to 10 Downing Street, he's expected to be talking very, very soon indeed, Bill.
Economic pressures big time in London, England right now, Tom?
Oh, very much so. Liz Truss crashed the economy here. So the pound has tanked to a historic low. In essence, she's ramped up mortgage payments, hundreds of dollars for average citizens, so her legacy is going to be felt for a long period of time. Pension funds, too. A lot of people are going to have to work longer now because their pensions aren't going to stretch as far. She did a lot of damage, a lot of damage.
New prime minister in London this morning, getting back to 10 Downing after the meeting with the king. Tom Rivers on it this morning. Tom, thanks much.
Take care, Bill.
And now, 5 good minutes.
The important job of county executive, something to be voted on in Cuyahoga County, and one of those that wants the job on the hotline with me, Mr. Lee Weingart, kind enough to join me for a few minutes. Lee, I appreciate your time. Good morning.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be on the radio with you.
All right, let's talk about a couple things here first. I got a list, so let's get through it. But let me set up a little bit more about you. You do have experience years ago as commissioner, and I want to lead into that because the system we left with the commissioners to this county exec, talk about some maybe of your past experience and maybe your frustration or maybe not with this current setup with county government. How do you think we're doing, Lee?
So I served as county commissioner from 1995 to 1997. I was 30 years old when I left office in 1997. While in office, we faced some real challenges. The first was the county lost $114 million before I got there, We had to reduce spending to keep the county budget afloat, and we did that without raising anybody's taxes. And then in 1995, the Browns wanted a new stadium. We had to put a sin tax extension on the ballot to fund that new stadium. Famously, the Browns announced they were leaving on the Sunday before the election. 2 days later, we passed that extension by a margin of 72% to 28% and brought the Browns back to Cleveland a few years later. So it was a very energetic, exciting time when I was county commissioner. For the last 25 years, I've been in the private sector, 20 of which I've been running a business I started in 2002. Now, the new form of government can work with the right county executive, which we've really not seen yet. Certainly the last 8 years had the wrong person as county executive. Having a single executive is more efficient than a three-headed board of county commissioners. Having 11-member county council is also good as oversight with the county executive. So I wouldn't throw out the system quite yet. I think we need to have a better county executive with a better vision to lead this county forward.
Lee, I must tell you, for a voter that I think we all need to be informed, whether it's an issue or a candidate, your website lays out very specifically what you would like to do or your vision, if you would, as a county exec. So let me walk through a couple of things with you. You talk about growing the economy. You talk about making our county safer. You talk about the burden that we have, and we need to reduce county government, though, and really work for all of its citizens. So let me break this down a little bit. Specifically on economy, so much is made because, you know, it's the way the national economy goes. It's easy to run a local government if things are going well nationally. That's not always the case. Do you think it's a great time, though, for Cuyahoga County for the future when it comes to growing this economy right now?
Yeah, the last 25 years, we've seen pretty good growth in our national economy, but not locally. We've lost population and we've lost jobs. So we need, I think, a laser focus on the economy locally. And I've got three programs. The first is called 10,000 Homes for Cuyahoga County.
Yep.
To help 10,000 families move into homes that they own. So moving out of apartments and public housing into homes that they own. Secondly, a focus to create 4,000 good-paying jobs in the urban core of the county to get folks back to work. And then finally, a targeted entrepreneurship fund to form and grow 250 new small businesses. I think through targeted homeownership, job creation, and new business formation and growth, we can get our economy rolling again in Cuyahoga County.
We'll talk about that private housing. So I spent some time with John Habit. I'm a big fan of what Habitat for Humanity does. We were on a tour with him this summer around Greater Cleveland and some places in the county. And you're right. I think the studies are there. If a family, if someone has skin in the game, if they have ownership in that home, they take pride, they can help rebuild communities really block by block, Lee.
It's true. So, you know, my housing program will provide security for that family and opportunities to generate wealth, which is really the core and the key. But also it keeps the community safe. So you mentioned John Habit and Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah.
There's a study done of the Woodhill neighborhood in Cleveland. In 2016, there were large pockets of high crime, and it was a very dangerous neighborhood. 4 years later, after John Habit had built about 120 new homes in that neighborhood, the pockets of high crime disappeared. It was a much safer neighborhood. So all that happened during those 4 years was construction of private housing by Habitat for Humanity. So when you bring in more private housing, you make neighborhoods safer.
Lee Weingart, candidate for county exec. Part two of my conversation with him at 7:20. We'll talk about issues of the day, including...
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
Another issue that people of Cuyahoga County have heard about when it comes to county government is the jail. So let me take you there. You talk about the $600 million jail and the Justice Center. We've spent a lot of money on it. We've spent a lot of money studying what to do with it. What's your position if you get the job?
So I'd like to renovate Jail 2, which is the smaller of the two downtown jails and the newer of the two downtown jails, to about 650 capacity. And then build what I'm calling a Jail 3 on the site of the old juvenile detention facility at Carnegie and East 22nd, also capacity of 650. So you'd be about 1,300 total in the jail. And then really rely on diversion and treatment for those who are arrested on nonviolent offenses and who themselves are not violent or flight risk. So if we shrink the capacity and only hold those in jail who are truly dangerous and give treatment and diversion to those who are not, I think we can solve this challenge, and we can save about $1 billion. The county wants to spend $2 billion building a jail that's too big, too expensive on a contaminated site. My vision would reduce that by more than half And so we could save at least $1 billion or maybe more under my plan for a renovated jail 2 and a new jail 3 and more dependence upon a diversion and mitigation for those who are not deemed to be dangerous.
Lee, my family and I moved here in 98 just after you had stepped down as far as commissioner. And since being on the radio for that many years, I want to ask you about regionalism because it's an idea that has been kicked around a lot. I know there's other. You can look at Indianapolis, Louisville, that sort of thing. I think Governor Kasich years ago said he wanted to somehow save money in administrating schools and try and merge school districts, and that didn't work too well, although some districts do share treasures and that sort of thing. So with that in mind, talk to me about that idea. Some still talk about it. Do you think it's ever going to happen, or would it be a good thing for the county?
So I think the start is looking at local income taxes. We have 57 municipalities in the county that levy a local income tax of varying rates, credits, and credit limits. It's very confusing. If you live in one municipality and you work in a different one, you end up paying two income taxes, as much as 5% of your paycheck. So I've called for elimination of all municipal-based income tax, replacing it with a single unified county income tax of 2.25%. That would make tax collection and filing much simpler for taxpayers. That would capture lost revenue that's caused by remote work for cities like Solon, Cleveland, Beechwood, Strongsville, our big employment centers. And it makes our county more competitive. If you're only paying one local income tax instead of two or three, it'll be easier for us to attract employers and more jobs. So the first step, I think, here is regionalizing local income tax collection by the county, and returning 100% of that money to the cities makes it simpler to file your taxes. We collect revenue that we're losing right now because of remote work, and we make the county more competitive.
Hey, finally, Lee, I think half of this job, whenever you're running any organization, you got to be a part cheerleader, whether it's the people that work for you or the community you lead in the case of government. And I think that's a big part of the county exec job, which I frankly think we have been missing an awful lot. And I say cheerleader because you're selling the county. You're selling us to other parts of the country when it comes to business. I interview people all the time that talk about the rich capacity we have in Northeast Ohio, which really starts with Cleveland, the opportunities for businesses to work here. So a part of your job, don't you think, will also be literally selling this county, this region?
Well, I know it is. In fact, in the county charter, the description for the county executive includes an advocate for the county. So the charter wants the executive to be an advocate, a cheerleader, if you will, for Cuyahoga County, and I will certainly do that. We need to reach out to businesses outside of the county to come look and see our fresh lake, our Great Lake, if they have water-intensive or water-innovative businesses. We need to make people understand that the cost of living is relatively low in Cuyahoga County compared to places like New York, L.A., and Chicago. So, yes, I will use the bully pulpit of the office, Teddy Roosevelt style, to really promote Cleveland and Cuyahoga County to the region, to the country, and to the world.
Well said. Again, inform yourself on your decision. Take a look at Lee's website. Very detail-oriented when it comes to policies and thoughts. You know exactly where he stands on so many issues. And I got to tell you, great-looking family, and what a beautiful dog.
So that's our dog, Sochi. She is a Samoyed, and she is a therapy dog. So my wife takes Sochi to university hospitals and other places to be with kids recovering from cancer and other conditions. So, yes, Sochi is the most famous dog in the Weingart family.
Well, I love Sochi, and God bless for what that whole mission is, because that is so needed. Lee, I thank you so much for your time. Good luck. If indeed you win, let's keep the dialogue going. We'd love to have you on. Our microphone will be yours anytime. Lee Weingart. Lee, thanks again for your time. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
Part 2 of my conversation with Lee Weingart. If you missed part 1, we'll put up on a podcast today, Wills and Snyder Facebook and WillsandSnyder.com. You can check it out. Lee Weingart, one of the two candidates for Cuyahoga County Exec. Chris Renane with us last week. Bottom line is, get out and vote. 7:53, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. And Best Browns coverage brought to you by Dollar Bank. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Joining us to talk about the Browns. You can talk about that and Guardians or Cavs in person with Terry. Worcester Library on November 2nd, 6:30, the next Terry on Tour event. Terry, good morning to you.
Hello there, Mr. Will.
Okay, you've had a couple days to sleep on it, a couple days to think through it. The loss in Baltimore, Some was made by some about the yelling in the locker room afterwards. I'm surprised we haven't heard it before now. Takeaways from Sunday? Pretty yeah, disappointing, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I do not think that that was particularly a big deal. Although it does, it's a sign that what is your coach who needs to make sure you have your just you're engaged with what's going on, what were they yelling about, and that stuff. But oftentimes when a team really is on a four-game losing streak, you walk in there and it's more like they're just quiet, whatever they want. They have these food sandwiches and things they pick up on the way out the door. They just want to grab that and go home.
Yeah.
So at least they weren't doing that.
Or get on the bus. Yeah, exactly, Terry.
Yeah.
You know, you look at this team. I'm wondering, Terry, as we hit really kind of the midpoint with the Bengals in town Monday, where the Haslams are and Barry mm-hmm. and Deep Podesta, are they looking at this team as, well, four games, we lose by a total of 9 points, and, you know, we have Deshaun Watson, maybe we're 4-3 instead of 2-5, or are they saying, yeah, this is going the wrong way here? Totally. What do you think?
Well, I hope they're being realistic enough to know that the defense has been bad, even against Baltimore, while they held them to 23 points, which is an improvement. Baltimore ran the ball 44 times for 160 yards. They didn't even hardly try to throw it. And that's been a problem of late. Early in the year, remember, they couldn't defend the pass. Now they can't defend the run, and it's two extremes. You could talk to Deshaun Watson, all that. Once he plans to play safety or something, too, that problem's not going away. And, of course, there are special teams breakdowns. I think they're realistic to see that. Now, what they want to do about it, I don't know. I'm getting all these emails. People want to fire Stefanski and all that. I'm not doing that. If you want to change the coordinator at midseason, I'm open to that.
Well, I hear that. You look at something, and something could happen because next week after the game on Monday, it's the bye, also mm-hmm. the trade deadline the next day. One thing, though, for Stefanski, Terry, I think he might be getting a look from somebody in that front office after the Bears run the ball 45 times against the Patriots. Well, the Browns, now we know we got behind, and I know it's Jacoby yeah. Brissett. Those are a couple of ifs, but the Browns ran it 18 times against that defense. And got blown out. The Bears exactly. blow out the Patriots.
See, it just seems like the Browns, their analytics or view of the game, you should be keeping up with the changes that are happening around the league, but they're not. The changes around the league were all those zone coverages and deep things that they played to stop the pass has then let offensive coordinators say, well, why don't we just run it?
Mm-hmm.
There's 4 or 5 yards to be gotten all the time. Where in the past it was like, we need to throw to set up the run, and that it's flipped again. And I don't see, A, that the Browns have been able to seem to do much with that defensively. And offensively, I admit they looked the other day, they were third in the league or fourth in the league in running attempts. It was higher than I thought. But you also have the best running back in the league, and you certainly probably have the best pair. So why not take advantage of it? And because these scores have been close, they always act, well, we got behind. When you're behind by 6 or 8 points or something and it's not the fourth quarter, you're not that far behind.
Back on Stefanski, Terry Pluto with us, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. This, as you pointed out, low point as far as head coach of the Browns. Well, halfway through the third
yeah.
season, he's had COVID to deal with. He's got a quarterback change. I mean, he's had some tough cards. But look, it's your job. You're the head coach. You would not be for
exactly.
You would not be for changing coaches then.
No,
yeah.
No, not at all. We'll talk about it at the end of the season. No, I'm not for. I don't see a good alternative. I mean, Bill Callahan's been a head coach before. No, but I've been watching this stuff with Joe Woods for quite a while, and I am not a fire this guy, change that during the season.
Right.
But there's a problem there.
Yeah.
And I just remember. I mean, think about this: when the Browns in the middle of the 18 season, when they put Greg Williams in charge. And they had Freddie Kitchens call and play. Suddenly, the offense shaped
yeah,
up.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm just saying. Neither one of those guys are going to be in the Mount Rushmore coaches.
Whoop-de-doo. Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo.
Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto. Best Browns coverage. Ricky Stanley this time tomorrow morning. Thanks, Terry.
Yeah.
Put on your brown and orange or you don't matter.
Yeah, 23. That's right. 23-20 loss to the... To the Ravens.
I think Bill Stefanski is going to get a shot with Watson. That's going to decide at the end of the year how it looks with how his offense looks when Deshaun Watson starts.
It's playing. Almost like he's trying out again for it. Let's talk some Cavaliers. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Jim Jones checks in this morning. He's not quite the jazz sound maybe you like, Jim, but
I'll take blues.
You like that? All right.
I'll take the blues.
Morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington. Get faster access to your pay and helpful digital tools with every Huntington checking account. Okay, we got the Orlando Magic here on Wednesday. Guys, Jim, let's give some love. Donovan Mitchell, 32 points Saturday in Chicago, 37 the other night. He is everything advertised, you know?
Yeah, he is. You know, there's very few players in our league that what we call score easy. Kyrie Irving is one, and of course Kevin Durant, and now Ja Morant. All three of those guys score easy. You know, they have a variety of offensive skill sets that are very hard to minimize, and Donovan is one of those guys. You know, you can win games with him. Every shot he made, every time we needed him to step up, he stepped up.
He really did, Jim. And one of the striking things, and I've talked with you about this too, and even as you've seen him play, is his strength. He's really got strong upper body. I mean, he gets in there, he seems so relaxed, and he's okay with getting some contact, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. When I talked to a couple of the coaches during training camp, they said that one thing that they noticed is that he can score in tight spaces, meaning that when he drives to the basket and he sees the defense set up in front of him, all he needs is just a little bit of an opening because he's so strong, he's able to keep his balance on physical contact and still finish. His jump shot is catch and shoot. Last season, 48% of his offense was off the high dribble screen. He makes great decisions coming off that high dribble screen.
Jim, we look at the team 2-1. Of course, they've played pretty much already these, two and a half games without Darius Garland. Hopefully, he'll be back soon. But it is kind of tantalizing to think of Mitchell and Garland playing together going forward and getting to know each other even more, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is because they're both dynamic. They both can get their own shot. They're both catch and shoot. They both have mid-ranges, and they both can finish at the rim. That's going to cost tremendous problems for the opposition, especially when they work it out. It says, whose turn? Is it your turn or my turn?
Knicks beat the Orlando Magic last night. They're 0-4. Am I seeing that right? Magic hadn't won a game yet this year. They're going to be in here on Wednesday, Rocket Mortgage Field now.
Yeah, they're struggling, but they do have a young player, the first overall pick, Paolo Banchero. He's putting up some numbers, Jim.
Yeah, and he's big. He's about 6'10", 255. I watched him play last night. He's very active. He can put the ball on the floor, and he can score from anywhere on the floor. Just a tremendous young talent.
Mavericks, the Magic, tomorrow night at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse against our Cavaliers. Jim Jones with the Morning Cavs update this morning on WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Jim, thanks much.
Thank you, guys.
8:45.
This is Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Here's what's trending at WTAM.com.
Scooter Reese has put up a couple things, including DNA reveals there are supposedly two types of humans that existed after the Ice Age.
Yes.
Not just male, female.
That's out of the United Kingdom. And where Wales is, you know, from long time, I think it was like 50,000 years. I got a note, Ancestry.com. In my family, 53% Wales and Irish. Wow. So really? Basically, I think my family probably came from that area, okay. That generation during the Ice Age. So it could be.
You and Tom Jones.
Right.
There you go. Philadelphia in the World Series. And I guess it's a tradition in Philly to climb the light poles when your team wins.
Yeah, that's a big thing there. And they usually put Crisco on them poles. But that didn't stop them this past Sunday when they clinched. But they're going to do it again because in case they win the World Series. But I always thought they used mechanical grease. I didn't think they'd use Crisco.
Crisco. And Mike, they're going to start in the World Series till Friday. I mean, it seems like it's a few days. Yeah. Why don't I go ahead and get going?
Well, part of the in baseball, why would you start on a Friday? Too?
On a Friday. I mean,
Friday's like one of the least television
you're going to it's going to be tough anyway because baseball's such a local sport versus national. But, I mean, you're going to be up against football and everything else.
But part of it, Bill, they like to have a set date in advance. So they didn't know, you know, if the ALCS goes seven games, you could have had a game today.
Okay.
So that was part of why they had to, you know, pushed it back. So you got a sweep in a five-game series. So you really have this lull now between the championship series and the World Series.
Also at the website and podcast today, Lee Weingart, one of the two running for county exec. We had Chris running with us last week. Our conversation with Mr. Weingart's up there as well, right?
Yep. Wills and Snyder page, WTM.com, Wills and Snyder Facebook, and the WTM Facebook page.
And more on the Browns. You posted about Kareem Hunt and Greedy Williams.
Yeah. As
Mike Snyder's talking about, they're talking trade, I guess, huh, Mike?
Well, they're at least listening, I think, yeah, as to how much they're talking. Another name in there, too, that I've seen, Jack Conklin, the right tackle, as somebody they're getting calls about. So, yeah, the trade deadline in the NFL is 1 week from today.
Jimmy Malone Show coming up next. We're back in the morning. Cleveland's morning for the Smashing Pumpkins at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on Saturday. Ricky Stanzi will check in for some best Browns coverage at 7:50 as they get ready for the Bengals on Halloween. And this time tomorrow morning, Andrew Tobias, great political writer, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. We're going to get some more numbers, I guess, on early voting. Republicans, Democrats, any trend in the state? Andrew will join me on that, too, tomorrow. And we'll get you ready for the Cavs and Magic matchup tomorrow night. Our buddy John Michael over at Bally Sports checks in for the Cavs update at 8:20. That's tomorrow. On Twitter already with me, thanks for the follow. If you're on Twitter, follow me at Bill Wills, WTAM. We're back in the morning. Have a good day.